This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وبعد. We will leave the tafsir for Abu Ahmed, Dr. Abu Ahmed, inshallah. I won't interrupt his flow. But I thought of talking about something that might be helpful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَذْكُرْ إِسْمَ رَبِّكَ بُكْرَةً وَأَصِيلًا, and mention the name of your Lord, بُكْرَةً, in the morning, in the early. وَأَصِيلًا, later on in the day, towards the end of the day. So we are meant to mention the name of Allah and do dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at least in the morning and in the evening. The point there is to open up your day with remembrance of Allah and close it with the remembrance of Allah. And this is a profound practice. This is a profound practice. Dhikr, every time the scholars talk about spiritual side of who we are, the life of the heart, the number one tool that the scholars usually give is dhikr. There's nothing that brings life to the heart like dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even the one person who came to the Prophet ﷺ and he said, Ya Rasulullah, إِنَّ شَعَائِرَ الْإِسْلَامِ قَدْ كَثُرَتْ عَلَيْهِ. O Messenger of Allah, like, there are so many things for me to do in Islam. It seems the man was old maybe. So he couldn't keep up with so many things, so many details. So he said, فَدُلَّنِي عَلَىٰ أَمْرٍ أَتَمَسَّكُ بِهِ جَامِعٍ. So give me something important, central, significant in Islam that I hold on to, and that would be the main thing for me. The Prophet ﷺ gave him that simple advice, لَا يَزَالُ لِسَانُكَ رَطْبًا مِنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Keep your tongue moist with the remembrance of Allah. The remembrance of Allah, or dhikr, opens up the treasures of iman in your heart. It connects you to your fitrah. And because dhikr is not just saying subhanAllah, 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 like so many people, for them it's more of a verbal exercise, it's about verbosity. It's just repeating, murmuring certain words, subhanAllah, 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 subhanAllah. They want to get, for example, someone wants to get to 33. SubhanAllah, 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 subhanAllah. This is not the kind of dhikr we are supposed to do. Some people want to do, for example, La ilaha illallah 1,000 times, or subhanAllah 1,000 times, or subhanAllah wa bihamdih 100 times. So they start saying, subhanAllah wa bihamdih, subhanAllah wa bihamdih, subhanAllah. It's about the number. That's not what dhikr is. Dhikr is for your heart. And when it comes to the heart, it's not about quantity, it's about quality. It's always about quality. So when you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with your tongue, this is supposed to be a precursor. It's more of a pointer or indicator or reminder for your heart. So dhikr is essentially like Shaykh Ibn al-Qayyim. Ibn al-Qayyim says that, الذكر أصالة للقلب وليس للسان. القلب, الذكر أصالة للقلب وإنما اللسان تبع. So the reality for dhikr, the main point in dhikr is a reminder for your heart, first and foremost. Secondly, the tongue is just more of a tool in order for you to practice dhikr properly. So dhikr is about the heart. So when you say subhanallah, your heart should be immersed in that meaning. That's what it means. Subhanallah. What does subhanallah mean? That Allah is so noble, is so exalted, is so glorified that nothing imperfect, nothing deficient could be ascribed to Him. So He's so perfect and He's so high and sublime. You should feel that greatness of Allah and that highness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the moment you say subhanallah. So you should float in that meaning. Your heart should be floating in that meaning as you say it. So by that time when you say subhanallah, you can't say subhanallah, 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 subhanallah. You know you're not doing it. You say subhanallah. So your heart should be in that state. So going back to the adhkar of the morning and the evening, and that's what we are meant to do. The beauty of these adhkar is that they frame your day. They frame your day. And if you get to the habit or the regular practice of doing the adhkar al-sabah wal-masa', the dhikr of morning and evening, a day when you miss these adhkar will not go well. And you will feel it. You will feel it. And it's not a punishment because you started doing the dhikr, now when you don't do it, it goes bad. No. But you have moved on to a higher level in the quality of your life that you cannot compromise to the regular quality that most people live in. That's it. So most of the days of the people don't go well. But when you start doing the dhikr, it will take you to a higher level in your experience and the quality of your life and your connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that when you miss out on that one day, you realize that you cannot survive without this. You realize how important it is. You see the impact of it on your day. So what we will do, as a reminder, is we will go over the adhkar of the morning and the evening, and we will see what each one of us offers us. Each one of them offers us. What each dhikr offers us. So hopefully that will get some of us to practice more of those adhkar. What's the time to practice those adhkar? Ideally, it's after fajr and before sunrise. That's the main. But if you happen to miss them, you can still do them later on. And what's the time for doing adhkarul masa? Adhkarul masa, later towards the day. What's the ideal time? After Maghrib. That's a debate among the scholars, as it is a debate here. Yes. Some scholars say, let's not give preference here. Some scholars say after Asr. After Salat al-Asr. And before Salat al-Maghrib. Some scholars say, no, after Salat al-Maghrib. Because that's what al-Masa is. Okay? Textual evidence leans a bit more with the opinion that's after Asr. Textual evidence leans a bit more to say it's after Salat al-Asr, or basically before Salat al-Maghrib. So towards the end of the day. But still, inshallah, it should be no harm. Inshallah, no harm. You do it after Asr or you do it after Maghrib, it should be okay. Because the Prophet ﷺ, some of those adhkar, the Prophet ﷺ was reported to have, that he actually did them after Maghrib, sometimes. Like specific du'as. Specific du'as. So, the adhkar. Once you wake up, or during this time, after Fajr, one of the most relevant du'as would be, Allahumma bika amsayna, wa bika asbahna, wa bika nahya, wa bika namut, wa ilayka an-nushur. Allahumma bika amsayna. Oh Allah, it's by your permission. It's by your power and your might that we went to sleep last night. وَبِكَ أَصْبَحْنَا. It's by your permission and by your creation, by your power, that we woke up today in the morning. So you did not, you actually, so that basically tells you, sends, gives you the message that life and death are not random. You didn't happen to wake up today. No, you were meant to wake up today. You were meant to live this day. So it's not that death missed you. No. You were given a new life today. You were purposefully given a new life today. So it's a gift. It's a new gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you go to sleep by the permission of Allah. And you wake up from that sleep by the permission of Allah. So it's something intentional. You were meant to wake up and live this day. وَبِكَ أَصْبَحْنَا وَبِكَ نَحْيَا. And it's with you and your might and your power, by your permission, that we come to life. We come to life by your permission. Because the Prophet ﷺ says, "An-nawmu akhu al-maut." Sleeping is the brother of death. So sleeping is a little bit similar to death, in the sense that your soul leaves your body, partially, leaves your body. So, when you wake up in the morning, you didn't happen to wake up, you were actually meant to live that day. So you wake up. And that's by the permission of Allah. So you have a special permission from Allah, or a verdict from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you actually live this day and you wake up. So you're given a life. وَبِكَ أَصْبَحْنَا. I'm saying, وَبِكَ أَصْبَحْنَا وَبِكَ نَحْيَا وَبِكَ نَمُوتْ. And it's with you and by your permission and by your will that we die. So you're basically surrendering yourself to Allah, acknowledging that whenever Allah decides that you die, that's the time you will die. So you feel that everything is in the hands of Allah and you control nothing. Even your life, you don't control it. Your death, you don't control it. It's with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. بِكَ نَحْيَا وَبِكَ نَمُوتُ وَإِلَيْكَ النُّشُورُ. And you see the consequences of this, the end of this, is that we will die and that's not the end. But the day will come when we will rise up from our death. We will rise from our death, and that would be to meet you on the day of judgment, النُّشُور. So that we receive, or we go through the reckoning and the hisab. So you see the story of life. You go to sleep and you wake up. You live and you die. That's all by Allah. And with the might of Allah, you will be brought to life again on the day of judgment to receive your hisab. So everything is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You recognize this and you see it and it's purposeful. So you sleep and you're waking. Your life and your death are all purposeful. There's nothing random there. And it's with the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's the first dua. So it puts you at a point of recognition that Allah controls everything about your life and that there is nothing random. My life and my death, they are all pre-planned. And when I wake up every day, it's not just random, I happen to wake up, or I'm just living and I go to sleep and wake up. No. You are given a new life today. You were purposefully given a new life today. So it's such a gift to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for. And you realize that you will, at the end of the day, return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah will deal with you based on your actions. You recite surah, or ayatul kursi. Ayatul kursi. A'azamu ayatin fil Qur'an. The greatest ayah and verse in the Qur'an. Why? Because it tells us so much about Allah. Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum. Allah. Just the name Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should put your heart in a state of fear and awe and love towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ. The true believers are the ones when the name of Allah is mentioned, the hearts tremble in awe and respect and love and fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu la ilaha illahu. No one deserves to be worshipped. No one has the right to be worshipped. And worship, in essence, as the scholars said, it's our sense of love. The deepest sense of love in our hearts. And devotion and fear at the same time. It's such a powerful feeling towards that worship. La ilaha illahu al-hayyul qayyum. He's the all-living. He is alive in himself. That means alive, the full version of life. Alive means he does everything about life. He's full of life. That's what al-hayy means. He's full of life. So there's no death. There is no nothingness. There is no beginning. There is no end about him. Allah is alive. He's the ever-living. That means everything about life is in him. And that means, this is what the scholars say about the name al-hayy. They say, اسمه الحي يستلزم بقية الأسماء والصفات. The name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala necessitates that he is full of life. And this necessitates that all the other good names and attributes belong to Allah. Because Al-Hayy is the one who can see. Al-Hayy is the one who can hear. Al-Hayy is the one who knows everything. So the more life you have, the more vision you have. The more life you have, the more hearing you have. The more life you have, the more knowledge that you have. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says he's al-hayy, that means all his names and attributes are complete. He possesses the full version ever of all of these names and attributes. That's a full life. Al-hayy, so he is alive in himself. Al-qayyum, what is al-qayyum? He is the one. Al-hayy is about himself. Al-qayyum is about his creation. That means he takes care of the creation. He gives them life. He gives them life. He takes care of them. He runs their affairs. That's what it means. Al-Hayyu al-Qayyum. يَقُومُ عَلَى خَلْقِهِ. So everything about the creation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken care of it. Allah provides for them. Allah gave them life. Allah gives them death. Allah gave them their eyesight. Allah gave them the hearing. Allah gave them provision. Allah gave them everything. So when you say, Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-Hayyu al-Qayyum, that's a very powerful statement. That possesses a lot of knowledge about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Hayyul Qayyum. That means everything in your affairs, Allah is taking care of it, even the smallest thing of it. Even like looking at your jacket, there's a button that is falling off. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows about it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala meant for that button to fall off. for a purpose, for a reason, to that detail. Everything about you. You have stomach ache. You have some pain. It's not random. Allah knows about it. He planned it. He knows about it and He runs that. He controls that. That's what Al-Qayyum means. Everything about you, Allah is responsible for it. And Allah takes care of it. And Allah intentionally allows it to happen and come into existence. Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum. La ta'khudhuhu sinatun wa la nawm. Since He's al-hayy, He's all alive, it's the full version of life. So there is no slumber, no sleep about Him. Because we have a life, but our life has weaknesses, has divisions, deficiencies. It has deficiencies. So this is why we need to sleep. Because if our life was complete, we won't need to sleep. On the Day of Judgment, the people in Jannah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them a full version of life. They don't need to sleep. A fuller version of life. So this is why they don't need to sleep. This is why they don't need to relieve themselves in the washroom. Why? Because the version of the life that they get on the Day of Judgment is a fuller version. It's a higher version than what we get in this life. So there's no need for sleep there. There's no need to use the washroom, relieve ourselves. There's no need. Why? Because we have a fuller version of life. Here in this life, we have a deficient level of life, a lower level of life. This is why we have to deal with these deficiencies and these weaknesses. Sleep, absent-mindedness, tiredness, slumber, all of these kind of weaknesses, using the washroom, all of these are forms of weaknesses because the version of life we're given in this specific life is not a fuller version. Why? Because it's part of the test to have this kind of life. But on the Day of Judgment, you don't need all of this because you move on to a higher level. So remember, Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum. La ta'khudhuhu sinatun wa la nawm. His life, His existence is of a fuller version. So there's no sleep, there's no tiredness, there's no fatigue, there's nothing like this. It's all about perfection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض. Everything that's in the heavens and on the earth and all the creation is His. It's under His control. It belongs to Him, He owns it, He controls it, He makes decisions about everything. As simple as that. So you feel that control is in the hands of Allah. And you are in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have no control. That gives you submission. You're more submissive to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now. لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يَشْفَعُ عِنْدَهُ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِهِ. Who intercedes with Allah except with His permission? So no one has influence on Allah except when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives someone a status because Allah wants to elevate them. So Allah would allow them to intercede and would allow them to call upon Him and ask for certain concessions of Him. So even the prophets and the messengers, when they are given a position to intercede for people and to make special requests for Allah and Allah will grant them, that's by the permission of Allah and by the virtue of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala giving it to them. So He controls everything. It's all about Him. مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يَشْفَعُ عِنْدَهُ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِهِ يَعْلَمُ مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمَا خَلْفَهُمْ. Allah knows everything about you. Allah knows what's ahead of you, what will come in the future. And Allah knows what you left behind, your past. And also Allah knows everything about you and everything around you. Allah knows it. So time, timeline for Allah is not limited like for us. For Allah, the present, the past, and the future are all revealed. They are all open to Him. He sees them. They are happening somehow at the same time. For Him, they are there in front of Him. There's no past, future, and present. That's only for us because we are trapped in a timeline. We are trapped in a timeline, so we cannot see the future. We cannot go back to the past. Why? Because we are captive to the present moment. For us, we cannot escape the present moment. You can't. Simply, you cannot go back to the past. You cannot move forward to the future. You just can't. But with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's nothing like this. There's nothing like this with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that shows Allah is outside the realm of space and time. Space and time are just for us to control us and the creation. But with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's no limitation when it comes to space and time. Allah is not bound by these creations, because space and time are creation, are the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يَعْلَمُ مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمَا خَلْفَهُمْ وَلَا يُحِيطُونَ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنْ عِلْمِهِ إِلَّا بِمَا شَاءٍ. And the knowledge that they possess is nothing but what Allah allows them. So the knowledge that we have is very little. And it's not like we take it by force, or we take it by our intelligence, or we think we're too smart, or we're very smart, and we get that knowledge and Allah doesn't want to give it to us. Because some people are under this impression that, oh, science is so advanced. Al-iyadu billah, actually some people said this. They said that the humans have become so intelligent that they are taking knowledge that Allah did not want them to take. A'udhu billah. A'udhu billah. This is a very serious thought. It might lead to kufr. The knowledge that we get through all the advances in sciences and every other tool, all of that, Allah is allowing that to us. And the reason science is improving is because Allah is allowing that science or that knowledge to come to us. So the knowledge is given before the tool is provided. Just like your provision was written for you before you worked for it. And the reason you are allowed to work for it is, in the first place, that Allah wrote that down for you. Allah wrote that provision. So it's not the provision comes because of the work, but you are doing the work because the provision was meant for you. You see the difference? But we got it the other way around. You were allowed to work and you were brought to work and do the work that you do because the provision was given to you by Allah and there must be a means for you to take it. So the only reason you were allowed and you were guided to and you were inspired to work is because the provision was coming to you. It's not the provision that brings your, or it's not the work that brings your provision. It's the provision that makes you work. It's the other way around. وَلَا يُحِيطُونَ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنْ عِلْمِهِ إِلَّا بِمَا شَاءٍ. So you do not possess knowledge except what Allah allows you to. So you only know it because Allah gave it to you. Even the science is developed just because Allah gave us that knowledge. So Allah also created a tool for us to arrive there. That's it. So everything like this happens by the... And what we know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا أُوتِيتُم مِّنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. And you have been given only very little of real knowledge. But subhanAllah, humans get very arrogant. They get very arrogant and they think they know it all. And subhanAllah, even if you look at the nature of knowledge, you know, there is something, it's originally a philosophical like thing, but the Muslim scholars have dealt with this. In English, or in which comes from Latin, they call it epistemology. Epistemology. In Arabic they call it nadhariyatul ma'rifa. Nadhariyatul ma'rifa. What is the nature of knowledge? How do we know? How do we know? What's the nature of knowledge? The scholars have dealt with this. The Muslim scholars have dealt with this from such a long time. So, what we know, is it the truth? Or is it true? Even Western scholars and philosophers and thinkers, they say, actually, even scientists, they say what we know is not really knowledge, it's just perspective. Subjective. The ultimate truth is not known to us. Even the nature of the things that we deal with is not known to us as human beings. It's just a perspective. We develop a perspective, and there are so many other perspectives to look at the same thing. So what we call knowledge is not even knowledge, it's just a perspective, it's just an approach. It's just an approach. And like one Western thinker, he basically says, we think we know what we know, so we know this is, for example, wood. This is solid. But he says, this is in Newtonian physics. Yes, it's solid. It has a mass. But he says, if you take it to quantum mechanics, quantum physics, this is only space. This is only space. There's no solid things because they say this is made of what? It's made of atoms, right? If you go down to the lowest level of composition, it's made of atoms. What are atoms made of? Atoms are made of subatomic particles like electrons, neutrons, protons, and so on and so forth. So if you look at the atom itself, What is it made of? Most of it, 99.999999% of this atom. What is it made of? Nothing. Space, vacuum. Vacuum. So the atoms are made mainly of vacuum. This is made of atoms, so it's mainly vacuum. It's mainly vacuum. This is why I think one of the earliest quantum physicists, more than 100 years ago, they said if you were to compress the Earth itself, compress it and remove all space out of it, all empty vacuum space out of it, it would come down to the size of an egg. Because the atoms are mainly made of space, vacuum. But yet, you cannot see through this. Although it's mainly made of vacuum, you cannot even see through it. But even now, in quantum mechanics, they say even those particles that we call particles, like electrons, neutrons, protons, and others, they say when we look at them at a deeper level, like with more of these developed microscopes, and try to see exactly what these particles are made of, when you look into them, there's not even particles. There's just energy. There's just invisible energy. It's just invisible energy. So there's not even a particle. There's no substance there. It's just energy, and they call it quarks. Quarks are just energy, and you can't even know where it is at the moment. So when it comes to quantum physics, the world is not what we see it, what we know it to be, at a physical level. It's just not. That's another perspective. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا يُحِيطُونَ بِشَيْءٍ مِنْ عِلْمِهِ إِلَّا بِمَا شَاءَ. You know, the knowledge that they possess, it's only what Allah has given them, and it's very little. It's very little, and a lot of it is inaccurate. A lot of it is inaccurate. So subhanAllah, what we think is knowledge is even in itself is just a perspective. It's a point of view. That's it. It's not even solid knowledge. So it could be challenged. It could be challenged. This is why philosophy is confusing. Philosophy is confusing. It just puts doubts in the way you know things. So you can't even defend it. And there are people who can actually convince you that what you know is not true. And that this doesn't exist, and so on and so forth. Why is this? Because yes, philosophy plays on the fact that the knowledge that we know is subjective. It's just a point of view. And when they challenge this, you felt clueless. The knowledge that you have seems to be baseless. The only things that we know for sure are not the things we learn in our minds. The only things we know for sure are what we're born with, the fitrah. And that's belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what we know for sure. Yet you can't even talk about it in physical terms. That's the irony, subhanAllah. What we know for sure is not what we need to learn, is but what we already possess. And that's when the Quran and the Sunnah, what do? They awaken what's in the heart. As Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah, they said, إِنَّمَا الشَّرِيعَةُ أو حَقِيقَةُ الشَّرِيعَةُ إِنَّمَا هِيَ فِي الْفِطْرَةِ الْمُكَمَّلَةِ بِالْوَحْيِ الْمُنَزَّلِ. That's the reality of Sharia, or Islam. It's basically the fitrah that is awakened and completed with revelation of Allah, Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. Okay, وَلَا يُحِيطُونَ بِشَيْءٍ مِنْ عِلْمِهِ إِلَّا بِمَا شَاءَ وَسِعَ كُرْسِيُّهُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Kursi, the scholars say, that's the footstool. Footstool, it's attached to the arsh, to the throne of Ar-Rahman. This footstool, which is smaller than the arsh of Ar-Rahman, smaller than the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is, as the Prophet ﷺ says, you know, the heavens and the earth. And now when they look at the universe, we know we're just like a speck of dust in this whole universe, that we, in the perceived universe, that what we know of the universe, what we know to be the universe, still the universe is far bigger than what we know. So that huge universe, we're just a tiny particle in it. The whole earth is a tiny particle. So there is so many depths within the skies, within the heavens, still, and that's within the creation. And some Muslim scholars, they say that's still the first heaven. That's still as-sama'ul ula. What's beyond that, we don't know. Allah, so the Prophet ﷺ says, إِنَّمَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ كَحَلَقَةٍ فِي الْعَرْشِ أَوْ فِي الْكُرْسِي كَحَلَقَةٍ مُلْقَاتٍ فِي فَلَا. Have you seen a ring? A ring, a small ring that you put it in your fingers. Throw it in the Sahara deserts. in North Africa. Try to fetch it, try to find it. You're going across a continent. How can you find that ring? The heavens and the earth, all of them, this creation, this magnificent universe, within the kursi, or the footstool, or even the throne, they're just like this ring in the desert. Imagine how small is this creation, which is huge, humongous for us, and we can't even perceive how vast it is. وَسِعَ كُرْسِيُّهُ وَالسَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ His footstool has encompassed the heavens and the earth. They're nothing, just like a small ring in the desert, in the huge Sahara desert. وَسِعَ كُرْسِيُّهُ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَلَا يَؤُودُهُ حِفْظُهُمَا Doesn't tire Allah to preserve the heavens and the earth and keep that beautiful balance. Imagine for us to keep a certain balance, just a certain balance, just to keep the, you know, just to maintain your garden and remove the snow, how much hard work it is, yeah? You need to keep up with it. Any kind of system you build, you need to put balance to it. It takes a lot of your time and your attention, and it becomes a consistent pain. Imagine Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put all these magnificent systems in the universe, which is still a tiny thing for Him. But there's infinite number of systems that Allah keeps their balance without any fatigue, without any burden, nothing. It's just kun fayakun, that's it for Him. Everything is just in a state of balance. And despite what we humans do to this small environment we call the earth, no matter how much garbage we put in it, in terms of gases, fumes, in terms of all the stuff that we put into the earth, still it maintains its balance. Still, it maintains its balance. وَلَا يَعُودُهُ حَفْظُهُمَا وَهُوَ الْعَلِيُّ الْعَظِيمُ He's the most high, and He is the greatest. And He is the great. So when you read this verse and you have these meanings, imagine you wake up, you start your day with these beautiful, that. Your whole day is going to be about connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's going to be about connection with Allah. So throughout the day, this is in the background of your head and of your mind. You realize you're living for Allah, your life is from Allah. Your death comes from Allah. This day that you're living in was given as a gift from Allah. And this is who Allah is. And you are under His care. That puts you in so much peace. Then you recite, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ That reminds you of the oneness of Allah. I'm going to go a little bit quickly now. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ اللَّهُ الصَّمَدُ Whole creation depends on Him. Everything, for your breath that goes automatically, each breath depends on Allah. اللَّهُ الصَّمَدُ All the creations that you see, all of them, billions and billions and trillions and trillions and trillions and trillions of them, each one of them depends on Allah. For everything, the heartbeat of each one of them, the breath of each one of them, all of this, the hair that grows, one hair that grows in your body, it takes its permission from Allah and it relies on Him. Imagine this whole creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ He doesn't beget, He's not begotten. No beginning, no end. There's no time when it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is something our minds cannot understand. But our hearts recognize and feel. وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٌ There's no one like Him. There's no one like Him. And imagine after all of this, people still say, is there a God? Is there a God? It tells you that people are not even in the right state of mind. People are just like fooled. People are drugged. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ You're seeking the protection in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you start your day with recognizing Allah's oneness first and His greatness, and then you move on to seeking Allah's protection. So you go through your day feeling safe. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ مِنْ شَرِّ مَا خَلَقِ From the evil of everything He created. So you seek Allah's protection from everything. That's it. وَمِنْ شَرِّ غَاسِقٍ إِذَا وَقَبٍ Regardless. وَمِنْ شَرِّ النَّفَّاثَاتِ فِي الْعُقَدِ وَمِنْ شَرِّ حَاسِدٍ إِذَا حَسَدَ Specifically, you seek Allah's protection from people who deal with magic and people who can give an evil eye. Because this is a specific type of evil that is actually very destructive. So people who deal with black magic and people who can strike you with an evil eye. So you can seek Allah's protection from that. The more trust you put in that process when you recite these verses, the more protection you're going to get. That's Allah's justice. The more trust you have in Allah as you do this, the more powerful it is. The more powerful it is. Then, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ You seek Allah's protection from shaitan. Because the evil can come to you When shaitan takes control over you, makes you do bad things, evil things, or maybe shaitan harms you through other ways, you seek Allah's protection from shaitan, because only Allah can protect you from shaitan. Three times each of those surahs. Then, you move on to, for example, let's say, أَصْبَحْنَا وَأَصْبَحَ الْمُلْكُ لِلَّهِ. SubhanAllah, it's a beautiful statement. We have, you know, we have woken up this morning somehow, you're saying. We have woken, we have witnessed this morning. We are alive, simply. You're saying, I am alive this morning. أَصْبَحْنَا, here I come and I witnessed this morning and I am here alive this morning. وَأَصْبَحَ الْمُلْكُ لِلَّهِ. And the dominion, control over the creation is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you wake up safe. Alhamdulillah. I'm in safe hands. Everything is in the hands of Allah. So it's not in the hands of Trump. It's not in the hands of Putin. It's not in the hands of anyone else. These people are just playing their roles. Everything is... So you see beyond the immediate reality there. أَصْبَحْنَا وَأَصْبَحَ الْمُلْكُ لِلَّهِ. This is Allah's creation. He controls it. He runs everything in it. And He allows these things to happen. And He knows according to His wisdom. أَصْبَحْنَا وَأَصْبَحَ... Safe, you feel... You wake up safe. أَصْبَحْنَا وَأَصْبَحَ الْمُلْكُ لِلَّهِ وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ. الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ. There is so much in this word that it's impossible, really, it's impossible to translate. We translate it as praise be to Allah. This is such a shallow translation. But what can you do? You can't make a lecture every time you say Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, you're saying just everything is just fine. Everything is just fine and Allah deserves all praise because He does everything right. Everything He does is in the right place at the right time, happening to the right people. Everything is just perfect. That's why when you say Alhamdulillah. When you say Alhamdulillah, that's what you mean. Alhamdulillah, everything is just right, everything is just perfect, and that's because of the glory and might and power and knowledge and justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because of His mercy. That's, in brief, that's what just Alhamdulillah is talking about. Alhamdulillah. أَصْبَحْنَا وَأَصْبَحَ الْمُلْكُ لِلَّهِ وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ. So you wake up, you're in safe hands, everything's under the control of Allah, and you're happy and you're safe, and you're full of joy. Why? Because Allah does everything right. He takes care of everything. أَصْبَحْنَا وَأَصْبَحَ الْمُلْكُ لِلَّهِ وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ. لَا وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ. I'm stuck. لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَحْدَهُ. أَصْبَحْنَا وَأَصْبَحَ الْمُلْكُ لِلَّهِ وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ. لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ. لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ. لَهُ الْمُلْكُ وَلَهُ الْحَمْدُ وَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. No one has the right to be worshipped. No one has the right to our love. So we should live our lives in love. By the way, a Muslim should fall in love with Allah. That's what it means to worship Allah. Fall in love. You know, sometimes people ask, how do I get khushu'? I can't really get khushu' when I'm praying. You know, believe me, it is too simple that we can't even grasp it. Who hasn't fallen in love in their life? Who hasn't loved, here, the brothers, who has never loved a woman? If you haven't, I mean, you probably need to see a psychiatrist. Definitely, no? Come on, to love is just human. Who has never loved a woman? Who has never fallen in love? That when you sleep, you're thinking of her. When you wake up, you're thinking of her. When you're eating, you imagine yourself eating with her. When you're walking, you imagine yourself walking with her, right? So you're thinking about her all the time. When a man is in that state, when he sees that woman, or when he meets that woman, do you think he's going to think about his bills? He's going to think about work? He's going to think about food? He's going to think about anything? Imagine when a lover is in the presence of his lover. They meet. Does that person think of anyone else or anything else? He's floating in that emotional state, right? By the way, that's what khushu' is. Who are we supposed to love more, a human being or Allah? We are supposed to live life in a state of love. We are in love to Allah. So if you love Allah and you are conscious of this love, you're not going to ask about khushu'. That's the secret to khushu', by the way. That's the biggest secret. That's the biggest secret. By the way, for 6 years I've been specifically searching for this and writing, and I wrote a book in Arabic. I wrote a book in English about it. Okay? And the book is being edited. This is the only answer to khushu'. If you love Allah, you're going to find it. You just need to live, be conscious of that love. That's it.
Just love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you will find it. So, La ilaha illallah. That's what La ilaha illallah means. So that because of that love, you're going to do everything for Allah. You're going to do whatever He wants because you love Him and you trust Him. La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah. No partners. Lahul mulk. Everything is in His hands. He controls everything. Everything is His. Walahu alhamd. We said alhamdulillah, what it means. It means Allah is doing everything right and everything is in the right place. And I feel so much joy and pleasure because of this. Lahul mulk walahu alhamd. Wa huwa ala kulli shayin qadeen. He is capable. He is able to do everything He wants. You are living in a perfect context. You are living in a perfect... Everything is just right. Nothing goes wrong in this universe. There's no mistakes in this universe. Everything just goes right according to plan. وَهُوَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ أَصْبَحْنَا وَأَصْبَحَ الْمُلْكُ لِلَّهِ وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ لَا إِلَهَ اللَّهُ وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ لَهُ الْمُلْكُ لَهُ الْحَمْدُ وَهُوَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ اللهم إني أسألك خير هذا اللي اللهم إني سبحان الله. It's because you say it every day, now it's hard to explain it. أسمع ربي أسألك خير هذا اليوم وَخَيْرَ مَا بَعْدَهُ. Oh Allah, I ask you of the good of this day. Give me the best out of this day. رَبِّي أَسْأَلُكَ خَيْرَ مَا فِي هَذَا الْيَوْمِ وَخَيْرَ مَا بَعْدَهُ. And the best of what's coming after it. وَأَعُوذَ بِكَ مِنْ شَرِّ مَا فِي هَذَا الْيَوْمِ وَشَرِّ مَا بَعْدَهُ. And I seek your protection from whatever evil takes place in this on this day. And whatever evil comes after that day. مِنْ شَرِّ مَا بَعْدَهُ. ربي أسألك خير ما في هذا اليوم وخير ما بعده وأعوذ بك من شر ما في هذا اليوم وشر ما بعده ربي أعوذ بك من الكسل وسوء الكبر. Oh Allah, I seek your protection from laziness, from procrastination, from being lazy and not, you know, dealing with my affairs, not handling my affairs properly. ربي أعوذ بك من الكسل وسوء الكبر. And I seek your protection from سوء الكبر, that I reach an old age that is evil. In the sense that I grow up or I spend my life in evil, so I end up being old and still possess all this evil. And still possess all this evil and distance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. رَبِّ أَعُوذُكَ مِنْ الْكِبَرَ وَسُوءِ الْكِبَرَ. أَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنْ الْكَسَلِ وَسُوءِ الْكِبَرَ. سُوءِ الْكِبَرَ is also, the Prophet said, وَأَنْ أُرَدَّ إِلَىٰ أَرْضَ لِلْعُمُرِ. Also sometimes when people get too old, and it happens, you see it here, people are lonely. They're old, and they are lonely. There's no one to look after them. No one to care about them. No one to ask about them. Just the other day I discovered I have a neighbor who's having so many issues with her back and she can't even walk these days. And she's, I think, in her late 60s. And I realized she's been living on her own for 3 years. For 3 years. She has a daughter. She lives in another country. She has a son who comes and checks on her twice a year. She lives by herself. She can't even leave the house. She orders things. Delivery. That's what she does. So checked on her the other day. And she was in tears. She says, I've been here for 3 years. None of these neighbors around us asked about me. No one. She says, there's one door to door. They've never asked about me. They've never asked. I met her by accident. She had to. She was leaving. Because ambulance was going to come and pick her up. She had to go down to the lobby. And that time I was coming for Fajr and I found her trying to push her chair. She's physically so weak. Push her chair to get down. I heard her like breathing heavily. SubhanAllah. That's how I met her. Imagine. That's Adhal al-Umr. That's Su' al-Kibar. That's reaching that age with that kind of life. رَبِّ أَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنْ كَسَلِ وَسُوءِ الْكِبَرِ رَبِّ أَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنْ عَذَابٍ فِي النَّارِ وَعَذَابٍ فِي الْقَبْرِ. Oh Allah, I seek your protection from being punished in the hellfire or being punished in my grave. You start your day with that notion. Then you start your day as well with اللهم ما أصبح بي من نعمة أو بأحد من خلقك فمنك وحدك لا شريك لك فلك الحمد ولك الشكر. Oh Allah, there is no blessing, there is no gift, there is no bounty, there is no goodness that I wake up to witness that I'm living in. Imagine, you're safe, you're healthy, you have clothes, you have a bed, you've just slept, you have, you know, intact body, you have possessions, you have a car, you have a house, you have a bed, you have children, you have family, you have something you can wear, you have a job you can work, you can earn money, you can eat normal, healthy, You can do things, you can move around. There are so many blessings. The sun is there, the moon is there, countless blessings. You are saying, oh Allah, there is no blessing in me or in any of your creation, not only human beings, animals, insects, microbes, angels, other creatures in different parts in the universe. All of these, each blessing of these is from you, oh Allah. And it only came from you. مَا أَصْبَحَ بِي مِنْ نِعْمَةٍ أَوْ بِي أَحَدٍ مِنْ خَلْقِكَ فَمِنْكَ وَحْدَكَ. It's from you. No one gave that. فَمِنْكَ وَحْدَكَ لَا شَرِكَ لَكَ. No, there's no partners with you. فَلَكَ الْحَمْدُ وَلَكَ الشُّكْرُ. To you belongs all praise and all thanks. So you feel that Allah puts everything in its right place and you're so happy with it. Okay? اللهم عافني في بدني. Okay. اللهم عافني في بدني. اللهم عافني في بدني. This is good. This is good actually. اللهم عافني في بدني. Oh Allah, give me health in my body. طيب. Give me health in my body. اللهم عافني في بدني. اللهم عافني في سمعي. Oh Allah, give me health and give me intact ability to hear. اللهم عافني في بصري and my vision. لا إله إلا أنت. اللهم إني أعوذ بك من الكفر والفقر. Oh Allah, I seek your protection from kufr and from poverty. وأعوذ بك من عذاب القبر. I seek your protection from the punishment of the grave. لا إله إلا أنت. When you say this dua, you should say it with consciousness, with a present mind. When you say اللهم عافني في بدني, you need to envision health being given to you running through your body. Feel it running through your body. Feel it as a gift from Allah. And that's an implementation of the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, اُدْعُوا اللَّهَ وَأَنْتُمْ مُوقِنُونَ بِالْإِجَابَةِ. So when you say, اللهم عافني في بدني, you need to see the health coming from Allah running through your body and healing everything in your body. That's when the dua is going to have a bigger impact. اللهم عافني في بدني. So you see Allah makes this health run through your body. Feel it. In your arms, in your shoulders, in your chest, in your head, in your abdomen, in your thighs, in your back, in everything. Feel it running through that as a gift from Allah, and that's health. Feel it running through your body. It's going to have an impact. اللهم عافني في بدني. اللهم عافني في سمعي. The same with your hearing. اللهم عافني في بصري. The same with your eyesight. لا إله إلا أنت. You're making a statement that all this health, I'm going to use it to worship you, to love you, oh Allah. اللهم إني أعوذ بك من الكفر والفقر. Oh Allah, I seek your protection from kufr. That I live in denial of you. That I live in denial of your sins. That I live in doubt of your power and your wisdom and your mercy. How often that we have doubts about Allah. Oh Allah is not going to answer my dua. Allah is not going to help me. Allah is not giving me the best. This is part of kufr. Kufr linguistically. اللهم إني أعوذ بك من الكفر والفقر. And poverty and lack. I seek your protection from poverty and lack. And there's a connection here. Because poverty and lack comes from kufr. The more you deny Allah or anything good about Allah, the more you deprive yourself of the blessings of Allah. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. اللهم إني أعوذ بك من الكفر والفقر وأعوذ بك من عذاب القبر. And I seek your protection from the punishment of the grave. لا إله إلا أنت. So imagine when you start your day and you close your day with these kind of thoughts, profound thoughts. Connection to Allah. It's so powerful. It's so refreshing. And it will actually, as you do it day in and day out, it helps keep your day on track. So everything else you do is mainly framed by your connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So hopefully this was a glimpse into the adhkar of the morning and the evening. They are very powerful. And I'm telling you, you can't afford not to make the adhkar of the morning and the evening. You can't. You can't miss out on them. They are so important. So important, subhanallah. طيب, hopefully this was beneficial. جزاكم الله خيرا وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وآله وصحبه وسلم وإياكم.